Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. God is good. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Hallelujah. Let us just clap hands for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We may take our seats. Our God is a very good God. First of all, I want to thank God for my pastor. I know this is his place. Hallelujah. This is his place, and I feel humbled to be given time. When he told me last week that I would wish you to share with us about your testimony, I felt, you know, humbled, yeah, because I know God gave him a lot of stuff to share with the church, and I said, there are only few people who can do that. Hallelujah. So, Pastor, thank you for allowing me to stand today and share a few things with the Church of God. A few things that I want to say maybe before I start. You may struggle with my accent. It's not my first time. But I want to tell you, when I'm speaking, just note the letters like W's, L's, and R's. Because my first language that I speak, we don't have those letters. So where L has to be there, maybe I use R. Where R has to be there, maybe it's L. So I'm just, always when I share with people, I tell them about that. Even W's, sometimes you can't even understand what I'm saying. So most of the people, they have to repeat, hey, brother, what did you say? And most of the time when people, they are speaking, it's kind of like when they didn't hear me, I know they didn't hear me. So what I do, I just start laughing until they ask me, can you repeat again what you said, you know? So our God is a very good God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for this wonderful time that you have given us. Thank you, Father God, for your presence. I know you're here, Father God, to share with your people. It's not about people. It's not about everybody. It's about your kingdom. Thank you, Father God, because you created us, Father God. You called us from the farthest corner of the world. You knew us before we were born. Even your servant, Jeremiah, you told him, Jeremiah, I knew you before you were born, before you were even formed in the womb of your mom. Father God, I know you know every person who is here today. You know where I'm coming from, Father. I know how you saved me. And I'm using this opportunity, Father God, to encourage our brethren today that you are still there and you still love us. You know our names, you know where we are going, you know our destiny. Thank you, Father God, for your presence. Let Holy Spirit, Father God, work in this room today. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I pray. Amen. My name is Brian Teo. It's where I'm and I'm going to try it to be a testimony. Hallelujah. We are six boys in our family and one girl, and I'm a third person, you know, to be born in my family. Like Pastor has been saying, I was born a Muslim in the religion called Islam. And there's nothing that I knew apart from being a Muslim. The book that I used to read, it was called Quran. And we can talk about Quran maybe the whole day or the whole week. And most of the time when I start talking about Quran, it's when maybe religion of Islam, they don't like me at all. Why they don't like at me? I used to be good at Quran. And my work that I used to do when I was young, because I was doing good job on reading Quran. Quran is like a Bible of, you know, Bible of Islam. So I used to be good at it. And until I started working at we call Islamic Information, my work was like going to school. I was young by then. I was young by then, but I was working at Islamic Information School. My work, it was to go to school and convince Christian girls, Christian boys to come to Islam. That was my work. And I regret that by that time I had that influence whereby I persuaded a lot of Christians who went to who became, you know, Muslims. Because when you go with me in my village in Africa, we have our mosque at my village. And my mom's mom, she's a chief of the village. And my uncle, that's the one who used to be imam or sheikhs. Imam or sheikhs, we are talking about them being pastors of Islam. So when I was born, there was nothing that I used to know apart from Islam, about Allah, about Muhammad, about his ministry. That's most of the stuff also that I share with people. Because what I discovered, I'm going to go into details maybe, but when I came to Christ, one of the things that really affected my life, I used to go, you know, on TV also with pastors, maybe share about what I know about Islam and comparing Muhammad and, you know, Jesus Christ. So I would try to share what I can share so we understand how God calls people. And I do believe today that people, they are in trouble, not because most of the people, they are in trouble today, not because of trouble itself, but because of saying no to the calling of God. Because that's one thing that I regretted and I discovered later, that if I knew that God was trying to make me a Christian, God was trying to call me, maybe I couldn't go a period of 6 years being sick. Not sick, like when, even when I talk about my sickness, I don't talk in details because most of you, you'll be going outside and throw out. So I don't talk even in details. And it's not like I said, it's not my first time like sharing about my testimony. This coming month in October, this month I'll be in, you know, I'll go to Florida and other places that I've been going, you know. People, they call me, I go there, I share. I was in downtown 3-4 weeks ago, one of the churches there, you know, where I go and maybe share about my testimony. Those are people that they know me maybe from home and they have heard and, you know, they want me to go there and share. So where all these things started, it was a long time ago. That time now, because of the work that I was doing in the Muslim world, they chose me and other 5 boys. We were almost like 6 boys that we were chosen to go to Mecca in Saudi Arabia. So when we go there, we become pastors of Islam. And their target was for us to go there so we can learn Arabic and know how to interpret, you know, the Quran. Because most of the time, we Christians, we preach from the Quran, from the Bible. But Muslims, they don't really talk more about Quran at all. That's their Bible, but they don't talk a lot about Quran. They talk a lot about the Bible. You can be surprised. If I'm a Muslim, you're a Christian, we want to talk or to debate anything between you being a Christian, I am a Muslim. You are going to see Muslim people taking the Bible. They debate you from the Bible. They will never debate you from the Quran. One, you don't know anything about Quran. Number two, they don't have anything that they can speak from the Quran. So whatever they speak from the Bible. That's why, you know, I learned scriptures those days. I learned them wrong way. I used to interpret them wrong way. Because even when you go to college of Muslims or Islam, what you learn is all about the Bible. They make you to read Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But now the interpretation, that's where we differ. So if I have time, I will talk a little bit more about maybe Muhammad, how he was called, how he started his ministry. If I'm going to have time, but I don't think it's a lot I can't really cover one day. What I want to focus is how God called me. So that time they told us, 6 of us, we are going to Mecca. And Indians from Mecca, you know, Saudi Arabia, those Arabs, they already bought our air tickets and everything. So we were going to land there in Saudi Arabia. But now when it was like a week or 2 weeks for us to leave, it's when I started not feeling okay. And I was very excited. I already went to my uncle's village. Oh, he's going. He's going to Saudi Arabia. Oh, he's going to go where Muhammad was born. You know, where Muhammad started his ministry. I was very excited. I started seeing myself rich because those guys, they told us, when you come back from Saudi Arabia, you are not going to be poor anymore. You are going to have your own businesses. You're going to have shares, in oil or stuff. You know, they have oil, they have what. They started kind of like building us, started seeing our future from beginning, and have that hope that one day, I think, with this poverty, I'm tired. What I want to go, I want to go. I want to go, and I want to learn. And the more we wanted to learn, the more they told us about having money, influencing Africa, and things like those. So the time came, sickness. Sickness that it has never had a name up to now. What are you suffering from? They will tell you 100 stuff that I was suffering from that they couldn't even find. They could say, maybe it's this. I was kind of late because I moved. I wanted to show you one of my what do you call when they take the scan? Is it scan? They show inside and what do you call? X-rays. Yes. I still have those old X-rays that we used to, to get from the doctor. But because we kind of moved. So this time now, I'm prepared to go. It's when I started, get sick. Oh, no, he's going to be okay. A week goes. Oh, then 3 days, people, they want to leave. I want to go. I love Allah. I didn't like Allah. I loved Allah. I was dreaming about Allah. I was dreaming about Muhammad. I was dreaming about Islam. I loved my religion. I loved like nobody else because when I was born, the first thing that I heard from my ears, it was about Allah. It was about Muhammad. It was about that. In my village, no church was there at all. It was strong Muslim village. It was big village. I'm talking about maybe you are talking about like Spartanburg. The whole Spartanburg being Islam. You see, in my grandma being a chief of that area. So Islam was so strong. And maybe the other religion which was there, it's kind of traditions, kind of religion. Not like they don't talk about God, they talk about dances and other rituals that they do. So Islam was very, very strong in my area. I see people always, I was given things to do in the in mosque or other stuff like that. I used to love Islam. So time came, I was very, very sick, throwing up. I wake up in the morning, I see blood coming in my eyes, in my ears, in my mouth. Where is the blood coming from? Going to the hospital, he has got brain damage. Oh, the other time I go there, he has got a hole, a hole in my heart. And every time they were telling me the hole was expanding, growing, So until my all five brothers, people that I knew from community, they went to Saudi Arabia. Four of them, they are still sheikhs. They can speak Arabic from, I don't know. Only one guy called Piri. When I learned the word of God later on, I managed to preach to him. He was, convicted. He's also a Christian preacher. But he had that opportunity to go to Mecca and to come back, after he learned. They sent them to UK. They sent them different areas where they went, and learn about, Islam. I was only the person that I never even go. The more I want to go, the more I say, Allah, where are you? Take away this pain. Man, I used to be in pain. People will get sick. I went through things. When people, I tell them, the way how I look today, and telling them about my past, you can't even understand. You can't, and I have testimonies about one simple decision, saying from today, I have decided to follow Jesus. It's not easy. I tell people here, I said, in America, I'm just by myself. I call, I came with Brother Peace the other day. Brother Peace, he was supposed to be here, but he's working. He works at the Spine Big Region Hospital. But next week is when he's off. But he wanted to come here. Because Brother Peace, when I was going through this, I call him uncle, my mom, my dad, my sister, brothers. They know him. Because that time he was already a pastor. You know, he was most first kind of like a pastor. You know, when I kind of like land and go back into my village, which I'm going to explain. One of the pastors who came into my village now without fear, one of them, it was Brother Peace. Brother Peace started preaching from a long time ago. So he wanted to come here because he knows my village, he knows my parents, he knows what I went through. So I wanted him to come, but he's working. So, man, I started from one hospital to another hospital. My dad used to have a construction company. He used to have a bunch of properties. He sold all his properties, all my brothers and sisters, until they stopped, you know, going to school. Because my parents had no money to pay for the school fees or to pay for everything. So everybody has to stop because my parents, their target was to save my life. After they saved my life, I have to go to Mecca. The more I loved to go to Mecca, the more I loved Muhammad, the more I loved to be a Muslim, the more I loved, I was dreaming of, oh, if I just feel better today, tomorrow I'll be living. The more my sickness was becoming even severe. Wow. We traveled, you know, within, you know, different countries, you know, of my country. We went to Zambia, South Africa, Malawi, you know, one day he was telling me he has been in Zambia, you know, and other countries around looking for traditional kind of like, you know, medicine so I can be healed. But nothing ever changed. So the whole 91, 92, 93, 94, I'm dying, I'm suffering. To the extent that my brothers and sisters forgot about me. Because I'll tell you, the first time that I went home, because I literally left home and go into the wilderness, which was hospital, from one hospital to another hospital, to another hospital, to another witch doctor, to another witch doctor. The time that I was going back home that time, because my parents now, they had finished all their monies. They have sold their company, a construction company. They have sold their properties. They have invested all those monies to save me, and money got finished. People started running away one by one. When I this time now, we have finished going, you know, traveling all over the world. We didn't get healed or anything. So last time, I'll just cut short, and so we can talk about here. Then now, this time now, after we finished everything, and I remember one country that we visited, it was Mozambique. We are coming from Mozambique, coming back into my country, Malawi. My parents had no money to go in town because we used to live in town now. They have sold the property, they have sold the company. So only option for us, it was to go back into the village. And when we went to the village now, I couldn't walk, I couldn't talk. I was very thin and stinky. I'm telling you, you have never. And when people, I tell them that, they don't even understand, because I can't emphasize how I used to be like. If I take my phone and call my elder brother, his name is John. Number one thing that before I talk anything else, he's going to talk about me giving him $100. Every time I call him, he talks about $100. I said, brother, every time I call you, you talk about $100. What said, man, you used to be dead stink. It was me, I used to push you in the wheelbar. Whatever you make there, $100 is mine. So even I... Because, you know, my brother John, I'm telling you, he's not 100% Christian. I'll tell you why. He lost hope when I was, you know, sick. He's kind of a brother who, among all brothers, he stood with me. I do understand most of the time why. Because he's kind of a person who is 6 months in church and 6 months back in Islam. 6 months in church, 6 months back in Islam. He used to ask himself why my young boss, there's nobody in my family who suffered more than myself. Nobody at all. My elder brother used to put me, the only transportation that we used to use that I could maybe fit, it was in the wheelbar. You know those wheelbars? So he was folding me into the wheelbar and put some blankets, and he pushes me maybe 4 or 5 hours pushing me to go to another destination. My uncles, they disappear. My other brothers disappear. But my brother John was always there with my mom. My dad could disappear. Oh, I'm going to look for the money. Until now, this time, he had to, you know, we had to call him. We are coming from Mozambique, coming back into my village. So we had to call him that, hey, you have to have a wheelbar at the bus stop. And that bus stop to go to my house, it was even long distance. Man, I couldn't walk, I couldn't do anything. They fought me into the wheelbar, started pushing me. You can't imagine how many butterflies we took them from, you know, flies because of stinkiness from the bus stop all the way to the house where we used to go. You go at my house, my grandma, the one whom I'm saying she's a chief, she came out and, who is coming over there? Then it was my mom, my brother was there, and myself. So well, I think now that's Brian. And Brian, I forgot to tell you, Brian is not my first name. It's not my original name. When you are in Islam, the names that they give you, they're all Islams. I used to be called Bashak Shakif Karim. So my first birthdays, my first, you know, a birth certificate or my school, whatever, I have got with two names. Because Brian, it was given now after I became a Christian. But it's also my original name, my first original name, in the sense that it's my legal name, because I said born again, I didn't want to deal with anything associated with Islam. So I said, even I don't want myself to be called Shakif or Bashak or Karim at all. So we had to change everything. So they said, who is coming there? That time they say, oh, Bashak is coming there. And they moved the wheelbar close by. My grandpa told them, said, you can't bring these bones back home. Wow. What you got to do right now, pack these bones. You take them back to hospital. They have to die there. These bones, they have left us poor. These bones, they have make us poor. These bones, they have make us to be having no school in this village. This my mom, my grandma started calling me bones. I could hear, I'm thin, I'm stinky, I have got sores everywhere, you know. Because, man, wherever I was sleeping, they have to bring, you know, a bag of, a bucket and some plastic bag. Because my work, it was just to peel my body, peel my skin. And I put that, when it's full, Brother John will come, will take this bag full of my body, full of my skin. He goes, he brings the bucket. I peel my body, putting it there. So my grandma, she got tired of that. Said, you got to take these bones, you know, back in the hospital. Because you have gone everywhere. You have got no money. We can't allow these to be here. We are tired with stinkiness. Because even my bedroom that I used to have, man, we had charms everywhere. Charms down, charms everywhere. But guess what? My mom said, I know. Even the doctor said he's going to, last time that we were there, they said he's going to live for 3 years only. So we were counting down, you know, the years. Then now this time they take the bones, my brother and my mom pleaded to, you know, to my grandma. Says, you know what, we are tired of traveling. Right now what we have to do, allow us to live at your place maybe for 2-3 days. We'll get rest. Then now we can go and, you know, to the hospital so we let the bones die there. I told my mom, I really understand what grandma she's saying. I was talking with not even really voice, you know. It was just something else that I was pushing myself, pushing energy to come out to say a word, you know. After I said, just allow them to take me to the hospital, because even myself, I'm tired. I have drunk all the type of medicines from the hospital. They used to give me 18 or maybe 32. One in the morning, you drink the whole thing. You put two until I finish 32 kind of medication in the morning. In the afternoon, the same. Until I became even tired, I said, take the bones to the hospital so I can die there. And they were given a day to be with me there. And after that day, we spent the day at the house. We went to hospital. At this hospital, this last time, it was just a trip going there to die, not going there to seek for healing or anything at all. That time we were only left maybe with 1 year, because that time, within my sickness, the doctor said, okay, if he's going to have a chance of living, it's 3 years. So we were counting down. And when we were at the hospital for the last time, they escorted me to die there. People could come, give me, you know, blood. Blood was staying in my system for 30 minutes. They give me blood 30 minutes. 30 minutes, blood disappears. Doctor calls, can you come with a blood again? Another aunt will come, will give me blood. 30 minutes, blood disappears. Inside of me, I'm still dreaming about going to Mecca. I have never yet quit about the ambition of going to Mecca, or ambition of going to, you know, to become a Muslim pastor. It's still there in me. It's stuck in me. Then people coming blood until people start now running away. When they see a call from hospital, people, they run away. See, the call from hospital said, what is kind of animal which is in him that when you give him blood, blood doesn't stay there? Then now I had a month, you know, to live. Then they asked me now to start calling some brothers and sisters to come to say goodbye to them when I was in the hospital. So my brother started coming, my sister started coming, you know, some aunties and uncles started coming. You know, I was saying sorry for whatever happened. This is it, this is it. A week, this is it. 3 days, also, this is it. I could smell death. And I was always asking myself, why am I've been trying to die, say, but I can't go. I'm stinky, but I can't go. I'm wounded everywhere. I mean, I used to be bones, I'm telling you, bones. I used not to walk. I used the wheelchairs for 3 years. My mom used to push me. Even this time when I received I received Jesus, I was in the wheelchairs. She used to push me. Man, people can talk bad about their parents. Never talk bad about my mom. I could see my dad quitting at any stage that, hey, that's it. But my mom promised me, I have to see until the last breath of you. It's when I'm going to raise my hands up. As long as I feel something in you, I feel heart beating, even if your arm or your legs or something start moving. Because, man, I used to sleep in the hospital like this. If nobody's not going to come and push me, change me 30 minutes this way, it was only my mom. Then after 30 minutes, pushes me this way, turns me this way. If nobody's going to push me or turns me, I could be there maybe one spot looking one direction, 1 week or maybe a month looking one direction. My mom, she was there. Though I was having fluids everywhere, wounds everywhere, she was still pushing me, Mom, quit. You can go, Mom. I'll be here, man. I used to be like a landlord in the hospital, seeing people coming. 2-3 days, they are dead. I'm still there looking at them. I turn this way. People there. I said, God, what's wrong? Man, I call Muhammad. I call Allah. I said whatever surahs that we are taught in the Quran. I repeated them. I said them, looking for healing. We couldn't find healing at all. 3 days. Oh, yeah, he has got 3 days. Oh, he has got 2 days. That 2 days, within 2-3 days, a preacher comes almost a half mile away from the hospital. Some of you know Reinhard Bonnke. He's a German preacher. His name is Reinhard Bonnke. Very powerful preacher. That man, he came near the hospital. They are preaching. He was preaching. Christians could go. And they come back to the hospital. They are testifying and testifying. Myself, I have never had even a hope in my life that I will live and breathe again. And I remember when I knew I'm going to die and this is it, I spent almost like 6 months just saying, God, forgive me. Inside of me, I couldn't say the voice. I said, okay, in my heart, I could say, if Jesus, okay, Muhammad, if he can't hear me, I know Jesus may be Christians. They talk about Jesus. When you are about to die, you don't have a choice. You don't have choice. Whatever comes, whatever, because it's like do or die. That's kind of a decision. You remember those guys in the Bible, four rapers? You remember about the story for four lepers? They said, even if we live here, We are going to die. If we go into the community, we are going to die. But what we are choosing right now, we have to die moving. That's better to die moving than dying just seated in one place. I told my parents, my mom, I know that's it. But when people goes there and do whatever they are doing, they are coming here with testimonies. I just want to try Jesus, mom. Muhammad has tried 6 years. I'm still stinky here. Nothing has changed. I've tried Quran. I've tried imams, sheikhs coming with their waters and say some words in Arabic whilst I'm dead there. Nothing changed. They come find me in pains. They go leave me in pains. They come find me in pains. They go leaving me in pains. What is it going to change my life at all? So this time, mom, we are going to sneak. You and me, we are going to go there. No, you know, if you are going to go there, your dad is going to divorce me. And we are going to be chased out of the community. We are going to be outcast. They are going to go out to take us, tie us, put us on the ground and stones us to death. We are going to die. We are going to die. Son, we are not going anywhere. I'll be with you on this bed until I see you, your last breath of you. But going to Christianity, going to revivals, whatever they call it, we are not going to do. We are not going to do that. I still love your dad. I still love my religion. I know you are going through this, but we can't. Man, I feel pain inside of me. Mom, if you could just know the many, many voices inside of me, inside this dead body. How many times inside me I have been asking Jesus to come in now because Muhammad, I can't see Muhammad at all. Maybe you could just take me here and go with me there. Because right now I don't have any other choice. I want to try him. One night my mom accepted, said, you know what, son, what are we going to do? We are going to cover ourselves, our body, whatever. You can't tell. This is agreement. You can't tell your brother. You can't tell your sisters. You can't tell your dad. You can't tell anybody. We are going to sneak tonight and see why people are going there. You are going there like spectators. You're not going there with a mission. He said, we are going to go there and see why people are going there. What are they talking about? Okay, mom, I like that. We made a deal. Then she had to take me to the bathroom and cover me all over, just face like this. Herself, she had to cover herself and cover my wheelchair all the way to the down there. And when people came in the evening around 5, 6 to see us, they went. We waited for them to go first so we can go. So we had to sneak and we went there. She pushed me all the way. She pushed me there. Man, I have never in my life I had hope of living again, but guess what? Where I got hope for first time in my life, when I just went on that revival, sitting down on my wheelchair like this. My mom, she is this side. She's holding my shoulder. She's standing up, but I'm down like here. This man, Reinhard Bonnke, a preacher, a missionary who came to Africa, he is preaching from Hosea 4, verse 6. I don't forget. Hosea 4 verse 6, the verse that he was preaching about, my people are perished because of lack of knowledge. My people are perished because of lack of knowledge. And his conclusion, he quoted a scripture, which is Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, 15, verse 10, 11, 12, where it says, all things in heaven, on earth, and under the earth should confess Jesus is the Lord. You know, it was so powerful that I don't even forget at all. He says, some of you here, you were not supposed to be in the wheelchairs. Some of you were not supposed to be sick. But because your hearts and your mind have been blinded, you can't see the future. You love your religion more than Jesus Christ. That's why you are crippled today. That's why you are struggling today. It's not, man, preacher, as he was preaching, he's like, he's talking about me. Man, we are in the ministry, and I'm kind of like, how is he seeing me this? Because I was far away from the pulpit, you know, because there are multitudes of people. You were not supposed to be in the wheelchairs. You love your religion more than how you love God. Today is your day. You have to open your eyes. The veil has to be break so you can see beyond the veil what's in there behind the... I said, oh my God. You have to make a decision first of loving him, liking him, wanting him in your life. He, once he come in your life, he begins doing things in your life. He started preaching about that, saying about that. And my mom, I'm kind of like checking on my mom. My mom, she's looking at me. Okay, we came here to see what people are seeing. And I'm saying, okay. My mom, she's shy. I also try my mom and myself also. My arm is up here. I saw people jumping out of the wheelchairs. Said, those who have got faith, who believe God can heal them, right now God is moving. God is moving. That's what he was talking. God is moving in the midst. Just believe. Just give. Man, I saw people jumping. They are walking. I'm seeing people, you know, with the wheelchairs, you know, with what do you call it? They are throwing it away. I said, ah, man, I'm trying. I said, also myself, I came here just to watch. But with this kind of move, I want to move. Man, I'm trying to move there. Man, I move, I fell down. I move. My mom said, son, if it's not going to happen today, it's going to happen tomorrow. Don't injure yourself. I said, I want to go. I want to move. I'm tired of being sick like this. I'm trying on my wheelchair, man. It was great night for other people. It was great night for me because I gave my life to Christ. Yes. I said, God, change my life, change my heart. I have been in the darkness for a long time, but now it's a time for you, God, to be in me. I want to start new things. I have tried Muhammad. I have tried everything that I could try. Nothing has ever changed my life. From that night, we were going home. She pushed me back home. I was discouraged because I started now accusing myself. I think God doesn't like me. I have done bad, a lot of stuff, making Christians to come to Islam. Now it's me running away from Islam, coming to Christianity. God can't hear me. God can't heal me. God can't touch me. I was discouraged. But one thing that kept me, it was my first night that night to have hope that God, that I can live again. Yes, that time I was only remaining with 2 days, according to the doctors, to live. I gave my life to Christ. My first time ever that I said, I think these bones can have flesh again. I think this, man, I could count my lips. I think flesh is going to grow back. I can touch everything. I think these wounds are going to be healed. Yes, I think these wounds are going to be healed. I think this skin is going to dry. A new skin is going to come. And it's not going to go again. One day I'll have a skin that I'm not going to peel again anymore. We went to the hospital back. I said, thank you, mom. I'm not going to tell daddy. You don't tell anybody. Man, I slept. That night, I had a vision. I always share about that vision. I'm not going to share about that. We are going to talk about it maybe the other time. I do believe in visions. I believe in, I do. If people that don't believe, that's it. I do believe because God spoke with me something very, very unique. Very, very unique. So I went back. I was complaining. I said, this is it. He doesn't like me. He didn't heal me. I went back and sleep. The whole night, my first time to have a vision, something that even encouraged me more. I said, what? I think Jesus can speak. Jesus can appear. I said, ah. They said, the man that I saw myself in that vision, he was a man in the veil from the whole body to the bottom. He was a man who could talk, who could speak. Yes. He was a man who could communicate. I said, Muhammad, where are you? You have never talked anything to me. Who is this man coming in my dreams, coming in my vision? He's telling me about tomorrow. And you know what that he told me? I chose you to be a seed. I have chosen you to be. It's one of the things that he told me that night. I do believe when God calls, wants to call community, he doesn't call the whole community at once. God comes into our community, our family, he just wants one life only. All of us were chosen today just to be seed so we can touch and rescue and save other people. When God came into my family, he saw that I had maybe courage or qualities of becoming somebody that I could influence my community again. So he chose me like a seed to preach to my brothers, my sisters, my dad, to preach in my community, and to go back to Islam community and change it to come to Christ. We went this night, let me close by that. We went back to the hospital. Things happened in the evening. I'm sleeping there. So in the morning, every time I used to go on the wheelchair and my mom pushes me, or they bring some chambers, you know, for me to use them, you know, whatever, because I couldn't go up. So I used to have some stuff in my blankets that I could use them. So I went, we came back to the hospital. In my mind, I'm saying, okay, one side I'm encouraged, one side I'm discouraged. In the morning, I felt like going to, you know, to use the bathroom. For first time, I jumped out of my bed. I started walking. My whole body was stiff. Don't forget, my whole body was stiff. And maybe the stiffness of my body, the last deliverance that I've got, maybe you're talking about 98, 99. It's when I'll tell you something. But now this morning, I'm going, you know, the whole body. Because everything was so stiff. People want to leave, even to sit down. They used to, you know, hold me to lay me down like that or whatever. Then I went to, you know, by myself. Pushing by myself, I turned, and I went to the bathroom. I used the bathroom. This time, my mind is, I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't even think on anything is happening or whatever. I'm coming from the bathroom there now in the hospital. I've used the bathroom. Then I'm coming back into my ward. Because in Africa, I've seen that different here. You have a room for men here. You have a room for women, maybe room for men. But you have a lot of beds, you know, a lot of beds. But here it's like private hotel when you go to the hospital. They put you in your, you know, in your own room, you know. Most of the hospitals where people come see you. But us, it's like a bed, all over the beds, you know. So I went there. People, they know this gentleman. He has been here for years, being sick. He goes 2 minutes, he comes back onto the hospital. So this time now, I'm turning from the bathroom. I'm walking back, you know, walking back. Go, you know, with my bones, go, you know, going there back. And now my mom, she's like there. She's there. And people also, they're like, you know, some other patient, they're kind of like looking. Then I'm kind of wondering now, checking behind me. Are they looking for something? Or checking that side, nothing. I'm still going, you know, walking towards. Bashak! Bashak! Are they talking about another Bashak, or they're talking about, that's my mom. Mom, what? Can't you see? I can't see. What? I'm talking to my mom. Everybody's going, man, you are walking. You are walking. Yeah. I said, huh? You know, I started running in the hospital. Mom, mom, I'm walking, mom, mom. Mate, I'm going this direction, mom. Mate, I go around that, telling some friends, I'm walking. I never walked for, you're talking 5-6 years, not walking. You have never dreamt of yourself one day walking by yourself. You went for the first time to hear the word of God. A preacher that you said, nothing, no miracle has happened to me. I saw people jumping, doing this and that. Myself, nothing. This God doesn't like me. I didn't know. God healed me from inside. He started inside. After inside, now outside. A lot of us, we are attracted by things that appear outside. If outside there's no change, it means there's no change. But God is interested in starting from your inside. He was dealing with me inside, healing me from inside, taking out all those sicknesses, taking out everything. I couldn't feel it. I couldn't see it. But that morning when I started walking, that's it. That's the confirmation that God heals. Jesus is there. Now it's my time to go and start doing something. Man, I told my mom, Mom, I want to practice walking. And doctors said, what has happened to your son? Because now this time, I'm talking, it's a day maybe that they said, I'm going to die. That was the day. That's the day that just said you are starting living the same day that they told you are going to die. So, doctors are saying, what has happened? We don't know. This morning, just walking, you know, because they didn't want to say, okay, we went to prayers or whatever. But some other people, they saw us that we were at the revival there. So, my mom had to make some arrangement, but this doctor told my parents, if your son ever going to leave, your son, whom by then I was leaving, he saw that I was leaving, you know, having life, and I'll leave again. But I don't forget him drawing a triangle to my mom. This is a triangle, the life of your son. Because of brain damage, his heart having a very big hole, it has been growing up, he is not going to work in his life at all. Three things that your son will be able to do is go to bedroom, eat, toilet. Bedroom, sleep, eat, toilet. That's all. He drew a triangle. So you are going to keep this body at your house. You are lucky if one day he's going to have whatever, but that's the life cycle of your son. I could hear him. I saw him drawing a triangle. My mom still talks about that triangle. You remember? He said this, he said that, he said that. I said, yes. But also I remember what God told me. Yeah. So it's better me to choose what doctor said or what God said. But what God said, that's what kept me today. I said, I will trust God. My mom took me and we went to physical therapy and started, you know, walking, started, you know, doing, learning again how to walk, how to do some other stuff like that. So God, I just want to encourage people, this God answer prayers.
Yes, he does.
Because of my salvation, my whole family today is changed. The first person that, because from physical therapy, I did physical therapy, here you call rehabilitation, whatever rehab, for 6 months with my mom, because my whole body was, you know, was stiff. Up to now, even I have, sometimes when I walk, because I used to walk like, you know, maybe like this or whatever. It was even, like I said, around 1998, 1999. But from that time, I went through the process of healing now. And now, after that 6 months with my at the rehabilitation, walking, I tried to learn how to walk again with my parents. My dad divorced my mom. He didn't want to see me again. He didn't want to see my mom. So they were divorced. And this other pastor volunteered to live with me, Pastor Steamer. He's still alive there. I still talk to him. He lived with me, said, you know, brother, God, I feel, brother, God wants me to teach you the word of God. I got to take out the Quran that you swallowed, and I got to put a Bible in you. So I have agreed with your mom. I'm going to stay with you. I stayed with that pastor for 3 years. He taught me, even when I was kind of like now able to walk, you know, he was there for me. He taught me how to fast. He taught me how to pray. He taught me the day that I received the Holy Spirit, the first day we were praying in the house. We were almost like 8 people, but we were in the house praying that overnight. It was every Friday in Africa we go to the mountains. And I spent almost like, I can't tell you how many years, where I started kind of like becoming lazy and sleep. It's here when I came to America. Every Friday I'm in the house sleeping. But I'm telling you, every Friday it was like mountains or church. Mountains, we have what we call overnight prayers. We go there, pray. We go to the mountains, man. When you go to the mountains, we have got big mountains. 3 hours, you're still climbing the mountains. You know, so when we go there, you see the whole community. You say, man, are people down there in the houses. You go Friday, people, another group is here praying. Another group is there praying. Another group is there praying. That's one thing that I've learned here. A lot of people in America, we love solving things by, you know, maybe talking and maybe working with our hands. But there it was more of prayers. Every time people, they go pray. Let's pray for our government. Oh, let's pray for this. Let's pray for this. Until I was with that pastor, I went back to my country, to my village. I told the pastor, Pastor, thank you. I feel like now I have a mission. The mission that God has given me is to go back into my community so I can find a way whereby people can come and start preaching. Pastors can go and start preaching. Pastor Sima told me, they are going to kill you. They are going to kill you. They are not going to leave you. I couldn't really encourage you to go back into your community. I said, but I feel it. I feel it. My brothers, they're still Muslims. My uncles, they're still Muslims. My grandpa, my grandma who said I'm a bones, I have to be thrown away. I want her to receive Jesus Christ too. Say, brother, ask God. If he says yes to you, you can go. Man, I went back into my community. People used to call, hey, you know, call me a ghost because they even forgot about me. I went back there. I couldn't find clothes. My brothers, they took all the clothes. I had nothing. I go, hey, brothers, I had my clothes here. Forget about that. Because even they forgot about me. I went back into the community. The first person that I preached to, it was my young brother. I know my young brother, he was so... it's another story for my immediate young brother. I preached to him. I said, you and me, we are going to have a mission here. Our mission is to change the community. We want this community to have churches, to have pastors coming, preaching, and do all the kind of jobs. Man, we said, waking up every 3 o'clock a.m. with my young brother. My young brother tells me, but I've never preached. I don't know anything about it. He just said, brother, you're going to be with me. Because when we woke up, maybe we can meet some hyenas and other stuff. You are there to help me. So don't worry. I'm the one that will be preaching. Man, I didn't know a lot of scriptures or words. But I was going 3 a.m. in the community preaching. This is a time for Jesus. Community, we have to receive Jesus in this community. I started calling upon, you know, the whole people in the community, talking about Jesus. Jesus is good. Saved my life. Making noise. Every morning we are going to the streets. The other time we go into the, we climb the trees. We preach, people, they come at 8 a.m., maybe taking some stones, you know, stoning us. You are making noise. We want to sleep. We want to sleep. You know, stone us. We didn't stop. We still preach in the community until people said, you're making too much noise. What can we make you to stop making noise AM? I said, until you give your life to Christ. We don't know about Christ. How are we going to learn? Okay, we are going to stop preaching or talking in the morning if we agree one thing. Do you want us to be meeting 2 o'clock every Saturday at this ground? So you come there. Whatever I have to share with you, will be sharing with you at that 2 o'clock Saturday. Than myself going AM and waking you up. Community, they had no choice. Oh yeah, they had no choice but meeting there. Brothers and sisters, I tell you, Jesus is there. Most of them, they wanted to know, you are still alive. We just wanted you sharing with us what happened. Because we know your situation, we already lighted you off the calendar. People started coming, 9 people coming there. The other week, 32. The other week, 52. The other week, 90. The other week, 200, 600. The whole community was filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow. Yes. More than 3,000 people that came into Christ in my village. I started calling. You know what I used to do? Because I didn't know scriptures. I used to go every morning. I would run all the way, you know, go to that pastor in the morning where he was preaching. And he preaches. I used to have my notebook and I write whatever he preaches, the scriptures, the everything. I take it. I fold it. I'm going to go home. I practice it. On Saturday, that's the same things that I was sharing with people. If he jumped in his preaching, I'll also jump there. If he said something, that's exactly. And another week, I'll go there. So I was going Saturday. I was going Sunday. There's things that I'm going to learn this Sunday. That there's things that I'll practice the whole week. And the Saturday that is coming there, there's things that I was preaching. People came to Christ. The mosque, now the battle started. No, I know my time now is gone. But man, the battle that started now is when I started penetrating into the Muslims. I said, I have the Bible right now. I have a background of Quran. Now I can mix these things and convincing now Muslims to come to Christ. Man, I was going into the marketplaces, buses, whatever. I didn't even have any fear. Who is Muhammad? Tell me one thing. I'll just go into the bus, you know, very big buses, you know, people that are going somewhere. I'll just go into the front. Tell me who is Muhammad. I'll tell you who is Jesus. People, huh? Can you tell me how Muhammad died? Because I can tell you how Jesus Christ died. But I want you guys, well, I know there are 99.9% Muslims. They have their caves and everything. They're there. I go into the buses like, no, we can't study that. I said, I want to tell you how Muhammad died. That's how I was starting preaching in the buses. I didn't even introduce myself. I could just go there. Oh, yeah, we know Jesus Christ was stolen. That's what we know, Jesus Christ was stolen. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Because Muslims, they will never tell you how Jesus Christ died, how Muhammad died. It's only me I can tell you how Muhammad died. They don't talk about that. How he was called. I'm only the one that I can tell you why polygamy in Islam is accepted. It's part of the doctrine, how it started. They don't talk about that. They don't talk about things that people have to know. But guess what? Jesus Christ used me in my country. I can testify here that my dad and my mom, they divorced for some years, but they came back to they came back together. My dad had to buy. They have the ring. It's called a eternal ring or ring, whatever. Given my mom said, "You are the best woman that I've ever met. You helped to save my son. My son has good life because you had to hide for sure that you're going for the revival or whatever, but I didn't know. So the good news is my dad is a church elder. My mom, she works in the church. My brother, young brother, he used to be a fighter. That's why I don't talk about him. He's a very good preacher. They call him, they nickname him Pastor Jet Li. Because he used to be a fighter. They used to call him Jet Li, so they call him Pastor Jet Li. So he's a you know, so the whole entire my sister, she's one of the singers of, you know, gospel musician singers. I'll borrow you maybe CDs one day. She's very one of the best singers. My mom, she's one of the intercessors. When I used to go and preach or do the work of God, my mom used to kneel down and pray for me. My young brothers used to kneel down and pray for me. So I want to share with you that Jesus Christ is God. No matter what people we go through, when we say yes to his calling, it's enough for us to have him forever. The only secret that I did is to say yes to his calling. When I said yes, Jesus said yes. Now you can walk. You were under arrest. You couldn't go to Mecca. You couldn't do anything. But now that you have said yes, I can let you go. Don't do what you used to do anymore. So I used to go on TV. I used to go anywhere, doing the work of God. Until I started now being hunted. That's why I had to run away. I had no, coming to America, I didn't decide to come to America. It's a way of running away, and I can't go into details about that. It's another thing that you can't even understand. When I was coming here, somebody who knew about the plot, last big plot, I can't tell you about the time that I was kidnapped by Muslim community, and they took me into the jungle, in the bushes. For 2 months, they are being whipped, my back being whipped. 2 months. My parents, the police, I still have police reports with me today. I still have police reports. They took me into the jungle, whipped me, and I can't even tell you some other stuff that they did there, forcing me to do some other stuff that are not even. When I went there, I found some other brothers who were already kidnapped before me. Their condition was, if you stop talking about Allah or breaking or destroying our religion of Islam,
we are going to let you go.
But if you go back again, you stand in this in the public places, markets, buses, TVs. Because I also used to be on TVs, you know. Certain pastors used to take me to go on TVs. Three Muslim sheikhs, three pastors, and one of them, they will hire me. Not hire me, but, you know, ask me to go with them. So when they would talk about things, myself, I used to dig into Quran. That's how much people came to Christ, because I could talk about Quran. I could talk about the verses that Muslims, they don't want us to talk about. I could talk about them. So people kidnapped my family, burned their houses, burned whatever. But this day now, this is the conclusion. I'm really saying it. When this man knew about the last plot, because that's why, even because of running, I used to come back into my community. I preach, and come back, you know, run away. I'll go. That's why even I've traveled maybe more than 18 countries in Africa. I have been in Europe. I've been, I don't know, Israel, 2009 I was there. You know, I've been in India, Tokyo, whatever, Ireland, UK, whatever. But most of those trips were because I was running away from my own countries. People following me, we have to kill this man. He's going, but this plot now, it was involved with one of the government officials who was a Muslim guy, very big person. So the other guy who was working in the government, that's the person who bought my air ticket to come here. Because I helped his son and his family also to know Jesus Christ. And he knew about what they were doing. Said, this is air ticket. He had to take somebody out of the plane for me to come into that place. I said, I don't know anyone in America. What am I going to be doing? Said, brother, you can't live here. You can't go to Zambia. You can't go anywhere else. You just need to go to America. I don't have money. I don't have this. Said, you are leaving. He bought air ticket. He called airport. I need one person there to be out of the plane. I need this young man to go. That's why I had to, you know, to come here. I used to have my vehicle that I sold. That vehicle I sold, I came here to January 28th, 2012. When it was the 1st of August or 2nd of August, I received a phone call from the same man. Guess what? I said, what? The vehicle that you sold, the vehicle that I sold, you know, to somebody, it was found, the driver and the passenger killed. And that vehicle was burned in the border of another country with my country. That was my vehicle that I was driving myself. The people who killed drivers and the passenger of that vehicle, because it was my vehicle, they didn't know that I have sold the vehicle and I'm already out of the country. It was on the news. It was I said, what? He said, the vehicle. And even people, because people, they don't know that now I was already here in America. They started calling my parents. Yo, did you hear the vehicle? Which is it was registered, still registered in my name. The guy had not even changed, you know, registration. But they killed him at the border because they thought it was myself running away, going to another country. They dead the death, which were not even their own death. But my happiness came. Because even that's why my brother, I have one brother now, you know, because of the same, you know, persecution. One is in Ireland, one is in UK, one is in Australia. Nobody, my parents, they're just by themselves there. They moved also because of persecution. Because the community changed to Christ. People started now talking against Allah. People started talking about religion of Islam. People, they fall in love with Jesus Christ. That's my conclusion. Once we believe God, no matter how much situations we are going through, one day God is there. Since I left the hospital 15th or 16th of January 1995, I have never been in the hospital. I don't get sick. The work that I do right now, they force us, oh, you have to go get blood, get what. You find the doctor, we have insurance, whatever. Yeah, I have insurance. I found the doctor. I went to the doctor, said, you have to diagnose everything. Even when I came here, the first thing that I did at the Spartanburg Regional Hospital, I booked the X-ray, whatever, to X-ray my heart. I said, you guys, you have got a very good machine. Can you check my heart again and see that hole if it's still there? Can you say if I still have my brain damage or what? They did whatever they do. Said, who told you you had? They don't believe I was 6 years in the hospital, not feeling okay at all. But guess what? God is a very good God. Yes. Dr. James told me, listen to it. Dr. James told me, after I gave him blood, I said, man, do I have to use this insurance? I have very good insurance. I don't pay anything. My company pays everything. But I want you to do your job if you can find something there. So I should maybe get medication or something. Okay, you text this. Okay, these are the results. Hey, negative, 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 negative. Okay, this negative, negative, negative. This negative. Oh, he used to give to schedule me maybe a month after a month, a month after a month. Then he said, brother, you know what? I'll give you 3 months now, maybe appointment. 3 months, 3 months. I go there. Brother, you know what? A 6 months appointment. Okay, 6 months. I go there. He says, brother, if I'll have people or patients like you in my hospital, only 100 patients like you, I'm going to shut down my hospital. I said, what? You don't need to come here. I said, but do you know how much sick I was? There is nothing. You are immune to this. You are immune to this. You are immune to this. I said, what does the word immunity, it means? He said, it means even if you can go through these kind of things, you're going to come out without anything at all. I was the sickest person in the family, sickest dead person that my family never even believe I will have life. First person with my brain damage, that doctor wrote whatever he was writing there, with brain damage, I was the first person in my whole family to do my high school. I was the first person in my whole family to do my bachelor's degree 4 years in another country. I was first person to do a lot of stuff in the community. I still go to Greenview Tech. I have my baby, my 5-year-old Christiana. I don't take, when I'm preaching most of the time now, I stop taking Christiana to where I'm kind of like sharing. I told Christiana that you are going to be my timekeeper. So when I take a long time, you give me the sign. So listen to when I was moving with her, we go a lot of places together. Very first 5 minutes, she's in the front already. She's, daddy, it's enough. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. And I told her, I'm going to church. I'm not going to take you today. Yeah, but you know what I'm trying to say? God is good. I'm a very healthy person because of Jesus Christ. I thank God. God gave me a very good job in America. I thank God. God changed me. And also through my job, I have tried to help a lot of people. Today, we were supposed to have a lot of people. I don't know why people, they have been whatever. But I will tell you even what I've met. As I'm doing my job, I don't just keep quiet. I share with people. I share with people. I share two atheists. Is it atheists? Those people who don't believe God. Atheists, two couple. They were about to make my, you know, to lose my, you know, my job. Because of the silly question that they asked me when I was doing their job at their house. I'm working, you know, installing water heaters and piping everything in their house, you know, that uses gas. At the end of the day, oh, you have a beautiful accent. I said, okay, thank you. Then I'm working, where do you come from? Why did you come here? Then he asked me, brother, the things that I used to love in America, I don't love them anymore. I lost all of them. Then I said, even myself, the things that I used to like before I came to America, when I came to America, I didn't find them. We started talking there, And he says, you know, man, I don't believe in God. You know, if God is there, why do people get sick? If God is there, why do people get this? Why do people, man, a lot of stuff. Then he's talking. I said, this man is going to press a button which is not going to like it. I'm here for working. I'm not here for anything else. Then brother is still talking, and I answered, I said, man, I don't know what I can tell you. If you don't believe there's no God there, I don't know what I can tell you because I saw him. That's the problem. You have never seen God. You have never met God. But because I saw God, and you say there's no God, then I don't know what I can tell you. Oh, what? Well, what are you trying to say? I gave the same testimony within 5 minutes of my testimony. I didn't quote a scripture or whatever. Within the very first 5 minutes, he calls his wife. Hey, come on, hear this now, hear this. And the wife comes, said, what's happening here? And I say, oh, your husband asked me about this. This is what I'm kind of, you know. Then I repeated what I'm, you know, I told the husband, man. And the wife said, you know what? I am, you said atheist, whatever. Atheist. I'm an atheist for 15 years because of my husband. He has been atheist for 30 years. But I have a lot of questions about atheist. It doesn't answer me. But if you have seen God 6 years in the hospital, I need that God. That's the wife now. I need that God. And the man said, hey, he was calling the name of the wife. He says, no. I didn't call you. We wanted you to come and help me convince him. There's no God. Man, within that 5 minutes, it was enough for the wife. I said, I need this Jesus because I have asked a lot of questions to my husband who introduced me to believe that there's no God. And he asked me, brother, if you think God is there, why could he allow you 6 years being in the hospital, even single day for him to come and heal you? I said, brother, you know what? Behind my sickness, it's where God was hiding. I had to go through the fire to meet the God himself. The only way for him, for me to hear him, it was after myself going through that pain. He was calling, Brian, abandon Islam, abandon Islam, abandon Islam. And I was saying, no, I love my Islam. No, I love my Islam. He could talk to God. God, I believe, could talk to me, but I couldn't understand. The only language that God spoke to me and understand, it was through the pain that I went through. So the pain, it wasn't all that punishment. It was the way how God designed for me to meet God. Yeah. Do you know today, people, we are in a lot of pains, a lot of confusion, a lot of stuff that we go through, we don't understand them. But God, those kind of stuff, he designed them so you can be closer to him. Greater treasure today, a lot of people, when we go through pain, it's when we run away from God. But that's time when we go through pain, we go through confusion and the rejection. That's the very good time for us to be closer to God and be with God. I can't leave you, God. I'll be still with you, God. I do believe if I had a revelation earlier, before all what I went through, I couldn't be in this hospital for 6 years at all. What God wanted to me to do? Oh, God, I'm here. Send me. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? He just wanted me to be there for him. That's it all. Let us all stand up. Our God is a very good God. We have been doubting God, but I am a living testimony. People, one day they had to go, doctors, when they said, this man is dead, you have to go and dig the graves. They go there, dig the graves. The same people who dug the graves, they had to go back to the graves and cover them back. The guy who said he's dead, the guy is still breathing, he's still alive. Our lives, pain most of the time takes away our faith, takes away our beliefs in our heart. Pains separate us with the holiness of God. Pains separate us, you know, from the things that God wants us to be doing or to be living. The more pain, the more we reject Jesus. Brothers, I have been a street kid because of my decision of having Jesus in my life. I have been without no mom, no dad because of the decision that I made. My brothers, one time before they understood or they came to Christ, they rebelled against me. But I didn't quit about loving Jesus. I said, I will love you, Jesus. Me and a friend of mine, his name is Stanford Kambango, the other time we had to go to the mountains, to the caves, and chase the lion. We had to fight, literally fight with the hyenas. And chase the hyenas from the caves. And we stayed in the mountains for 3 months. Coming from the mountains, going to the rivers in the mountains, take shower or bath, you know, from the waters in the rivers, in the mountains. From that washing, we could go to school. Both me and myself going to school. Our fellow students ask, Brian, where do you live? Oh, I live somewhere. Oh, Stanford, where do you live? We live somewhere. And that time I had already ran away from my community and lived somewhere. Where we went, we had nobody. But brothers,
I have lived in the mountains. We have got hyenas, we have got snakes, we have got everything. But we had to go to the caves of Africa, go there, chase the hyenas and take their place. And we're coming from there, going to school. When I was doing my form one, here you say high school, I was coming from the caves, in the mountains, going to the river. I bath from the waters of the river, and I go to school in the morning. From school, I go back home, and I want to see, you know, all the students, they have gone. Maybe there's nobody. I'll be just waiting like here so that nobody sees me when I go to the mountains, where I sleep with my brother there, where is our home. Nobody should see us going there, because everybody, where do you live? Oh, we live somewhere. We live somewhere. But when the students goes now, it's when with my brother we go, climb almost 2-3 hours climbing the mountains. We're eating fruits, our breakfast. We eat fruits, you know, those other fruits from the trees. We go to school. Form one, the whole form one, we had to do that. Until one couple said, hey guys, where do you live? We told the couple the truth. We started living with them. But I thank God today I'm a changed person. Through pain, I didn't leave my Jesus. I didn't leave my faith. I love Jesus more than anything else. More than Quran, more than Muhammad, more than nothing of this world. That's why I'm surviving here in America, leaving myself with my daughter, still coming to church. Riba shaka taria mandala kashaka. Shh. Our God is a very good God. I just want to make a prayer. Riba shoraba kaya mando kosi. God will never, never leave us alone. Our pains one day will be the testimony to the world. That yes, we went through the pains. We had nothing, but we have got something today. We had no names, we have got names today. Our God is a very good God. Maybe we have got somebody today who says, brother, you have shared your life with us. You didn't have that strong much kind of, you know, faith or believing God. Like I was saying about this atheist couple. The husband called my company. Oh, this guy came here. He was imposing his religion on us. The wife calls again the company. This is the man that we want in our family. Our God is a very good God. Do we have people who says, I just want this Jesus. Jesus who can hear you when you are sick. Jesus who listens. Jesus who heals. Jesus who forgets about your past and give you a new name and new destination. Jesus of hope. Jesus who builds our lives. If you are there, you need Jesus, I want you to raise up your hand. I am going to pray for you. If somebody is not feeling okay, I do believe with, you know, in Jesus who heals the sick, because he has healed my life. Ribo shakataria mandoroko shakataria mama masanda. Rima mosa pipia urebebe sandoro kotoria mashake ya mando. Rika shaka taya mandoro kotoria mahaya sika. Rike sheke tere ya mamhoro kosondoro kotoria. Father God, I rebuke every sickness in this room, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I rebuke every sickness. I rebuke every case. I rebuke every pain in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I declare fire. I declare fire. I declare fire of healing. I declare fire of healing. I declare fire of healing to each and every body. I pray for the blood of every individual right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh God, touch that sister, touch that brother, oh God, touch every sickness in this room, oh God. Oh yes, Lord, you can do it again, 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 you can do it again in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Ribo shakataria mandoroko shai. Almighty Jehovah, mes malepera mungu wakumamba, mungu pambana, mungu posa onsha me matimva me mumata. Ndikupempera majiritsa. Healing in the name of Jesus. Healing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for your power. Thank you, God, for your praises. Thank you, Father, because we are on earth, Father God, to represent your name. Riboshaya mandoho shikia manhaya. I pray, Father, for every sister, every brother, that they have been going through struggles, through pains, through confusions, through discouragement. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray for your power. I pray for your anointing. I pray for your praises. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, let thy name, Father God, be glorified in this room. We are praying for the revival, oh God. You are God that you never lie. You are God that you hears our prayers. You say, Father God, I shall never forsake you or leave you. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord Almighty, I pray. Amen.
Hello.
Something about the name Jesus. It is the sweetest name I know. There's something about the name Jesus. There's something about the name.